We're talking with Carol Muffett, who is the president of the Center for International Environmental Law. He's one of the presenters at a plastic conference that was held at Benedict College. Your organization recently put out a report on the hidden cost of a plastic planet. What were some of the key points in that study?
I think the major findings of our report are that the climate impacts of plastic begin when the plastic is born as oil and gas. So those impacts begin at the wellheads and drill pads where plastic is born. And they continue all down the pipelines to the refineries and chemical manufacturing plants where plastics are created. And they never stop. So from waste incineration to the release of plastics in the ocean, at every stage in its life cycle, plastics is not only an environmental problem, but a climate problem. And what we found is with the growth of plastic production that is accelerating across the U.S. and worldwide, we could be looking at 56 gigatons of CO2 emissions from plastics production and incineration between now and 2050. And to put that number into perspective, that's more than 10% of the Earth's entire remaining carbon budget.
Now, one of the things I was surprised to hear is that 99% of plastic at this point is coming from various fossil fuel feedstocks.
That's exactly right. You know, the vast majority of what goes into plastics are natural gas, oil, and even coal.
And also that the production of plastic is also one of the things that is really driving exploration for new oil and gas reserves at this point and is really building out the industry.
As demand for oil and gas for energy and transportation fuels declines over time, what the industry is counting on is the growth in plastics to actually be the major driver for oil and gas demand into the future. And so right now, you know, the use of oil and gas for energy remains their primary use. But when you look out between now and 2050, plastics and petrochemicals become the major driver of growth for oil and gas demand.
Well, it's also somewhat interesting. I believe you said that, plastics now for, I believe it was Exxon, accounts for almost a fifth of their profits, quite a bit more than the actual revenues.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is one of the important things about plastics is that because the feedstocks are essentially a waste stream from oil and gas production, they are extremely profitable for the oil and gas companies to produce. And so if you look at ExxonMobil, in 2015, plastics and chemicals accounted for just over 10% of its revenues, but more than 27% of its profits.
So has many of the elected officials yet made the connection between plastics and, driving climate change? And how should those of people who are concerned about climate change, including elected officials, how should they be incorporating, carbon plastics into their efforts to mitigate climate change?
I think this is an area where both civil society and elected officials are just beginning to recognize the connections. We heard yesterday Jared Blumenfeld, who heads the Department of Environmental Protection for California, recognizing those connections. But many legislators are just getting to that point. So what does it mean for solutions? It means that some of the solutions to the plastics crisis and the climate crisis are as connected as the sources of the problem. So that means keeping the oil and gas in the ground in the first place, and most importantly, stopping the build-out of new plastics. We don't need new plastics. We can't afford new plastics for the planet, and we can't afford new plastics for the climate.
Now, I'm not sure if your organization, directly addresses it, but, certainly you've heard a lot today about the need to curb single-use plastic, things as plastic bag bans, trying to restrict the use of plastic, straws. What are some of the other solutions in terms of just you know, how does society move away from this single-use plastic?
One of the most important things that we can do to address the plastic crisis is to stop the production of new single-use disposable plastics. These are plastics that have a lifespan, a useful life of 6 months or less, and yet they go on persisting in the environment for decades or more. And so this is one of the first, this is one of the first steps in addressing the plastic crisis. Addressing plastic bag bans, plastic straw bans, addressing styrofoam are part of that solution, but we need to be moving to much more fundamental strategies to address the plastic crisis across its entire life cycle.
And what would those more fundamental strategies be?
Keeping the oil and gas in the ground, stopping subsidies for oil and gas production, stopping subsidies for petrochemical manufacture, to start forcing the producers of these substances to bear more of the costs of their production and more of the risks. And the bearing the risk means extended producer responsibility and potentially accountability and liability for the impacts of the products they're producing.
And one of the interesting points that I hadn't heard about was the point that since a lot of the plastics is being made from sort of the waste product from, you know, say fracking and other oil and gas extraction, that, you know, fossil fuels is basically subsidizing plastic at this point and making it a lot cheaper.
That's exactly right. I think, plastics are cheap because the oil and gas companies pay for the exploration, for sinking the wells, for the production, for the transportation, and for the refining, all before, all to turn the oil and gas feedstocks into fossil fuels. All of that is done before it is ever converted into plastic feedstocks, and that makes plastics much cheaper and much more profitable for these companies.
So we've been talking with Carol Muffett, who is the president of the Center for International Environmental Law. If people want to find out more about what your group is doing, and particularly on the issue of plastic and climate change, how best can they look that up?
You can come to our website at www.ciel.org, or you can follow us on Twitter at CLTweets.
So we now talk to Miriam Gordon, who is the program director for Upstream. And now for people just sort of thinking about single-use plastic, what would be sort of like your elevator speech? Why is it critical for us to get rid of single-use plastics? And, you know, what are one of the two most effective steps?
Well, single-use plastics they're a huge hazard in the marine environment. I think most people are aware of, the 100,000 animals that are dying every year, large marine mammals, and then also the proliferation of microplastics in the ocean that's affecting the entire food chain. And it also has effects on human health. We're eating microplastics in seafood and table salt and honey. It's in our drinking water, both bottled and also tap water. And we are inhaling microplastics. And there are concerns as these plastics are lodging in our organs and crossing the blood-brain barrier and the placenta entering the fetus, that there are huge impacts to human health. So what do we do about it? We basically have to stop using this material designed to last for thousands of years, polymers that are basically unbreakable and incredibly durable, stop using them for items that we're just going to consume in a matter of minutes. And so we are looking at food. How do we deliver food and beverages in a way that doesn't involve single-use packaging of any kind, and try to convert that system of food delivery to using more refillable and reusable containers?
Thank you, Miriam Gordon, Program Director, Upstream. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.